Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Once again, this week we take you to the Fancy Food Show to explore some new and exciting things to eat in the next months ahead. So let's go back on the floor at the Javits Center in New York for more Fancy Food Show.
Our guest this time at Cucina Filipino, we have some Philippine food to explore this time. PJ Quesada is our guest. Tell us a little bit about your line of products here.
Thank you, Steve. So my family came from the Philippines in the late 1960s, and shortly thereafter, we started to share our cuisine with our fellow immigrants. And over time, I'm actually third generation in the business now, we decided we want to build a connection with the new younger generation because we noticed that young Asians and other Filipino Americans were starting to lose a little bit of touch with their culture, but they were really reaching out, really wanted to understand where they had come from. So we decided to make a all-natural line of Filipino cuisine that people could buy at the supermarket and bring home and make without a lot of fuss and muss. And that's been really successful so far because the flavors are amazing.
Well, the hardest part in many cuisines, particularly Asian, is finding the ingredients domestically. You've done all the legwork for them, right?
Exactly. We basically have taken all of the frustration out of trying to make a dish that you maybe never made before, having to make multiple stops to get ingredients, and getting the flavor experience just right. We like to think we've really taken care of that. These are based on my grandmother's recipes, so we try to give people a little taste of history.
For the folks that are somewhat uninitiated, and that's many people throughout the world, differentiate Filipino cuisine. I know there's an enormous amount of Spanish influence as well as Asian influence, and everybody else who ever sailed through the Pacific Ocean. Tell me what differentiates it in your mind.
I think the best way to explain it is that the Philippines, with its 7,000-plus islands, was one of the trading epicenters for thousands of years in Southeast Asia. So influences from China, Japan, India, Malaysia, and Thailand, as well as the Australian subcontinents, had basically melded with the indigenous ingredients over time and created this brand new kind of palette of flavors. When the Spanish came in the late 1500s, they started their occupation of the Philippines and brought so many European Western influences. And that's why you have a lot of Spanish names for Filipino cuisine. Like, for example, our chicken empanadas. The Spanish, basically, everywhere they went in the world, the Spanish left empanadas behind, and everybody made their own version of it. So our version is a little bit sweeter. It's usually baked instead of fried, so it's a little bit healthier, technically speaking. And then we have, like, our pancit, which is our noodle stir fry. All noodles, as we know, did come from China, and our version of pancit has turned into 22 different varieties of a stir-fry noodle dish. And everywhere in the Philippines, everybody says that theirs is the best. And we're going to make the same claim. We think ours is also the best.
How do you prepare your foods? What's the packaging and what's the preparation for the people that'd be interested?
Well, the great thing is that for our appetizers, because we've pre-cooked everything, the appetizers like our vegan lumpia, our chicken lumpia, and our chicken empanadas can be heated up in a toaster oven in about 10 to 12 minutes. Just, you know, regular countertop toaster oven, nothing special there. And then for our entrees, which is our chicken adobo, our chicken sisig, and our pancit noodle stir fry, 5 minutes in the microwave, and you would never believe that they were frozen when you're eating them.
Where can people find your products around the U.S. or even around the world?
Well, currently we are only sold in the U.S. We are working on the worldwide. But here in the New York, New Jersey area, you can find us at King Supermarkets, Balducci's. And then in the West Coast, we're in about 300 Safeways. And also Whole Foods in the San Francisco Bay Area.
And the people should look for the brand name Cucina with the spoon for the letter I?
Correct, yes. So it's our wonderful logo. Cucina is actually, a lot of people recognize it as a European or Spanish word, except we spell it with a K, because in the Philippines there's no C. So if you see Cucina with a K, you can bet your butt that it's going to be some good Filipino cuisine.
And what about your website for folks that want some more information on your product?
That is going to be www.cucina.com, and that's Cucina with a K.
Great. Thank you very much, PJ. Appreciate it. This time we're talking with Daryl Lim, and Daryl is going to tell us about a product with, at the very least, an interesting-sounding name. What is Baby Mum Mum?
Baby Mum Mum is a traditional Japanese rice cracker meant as a first food for babies. They've been eating it for centuries. Our company, Want Want Foods, decided to take that Japanese food and turned it into a mainstream rice cracker product for babies around the world. Mm-hmm. We sell it in China. We sell it in actually 18 countries across around the world. And North America is one of our best markets. It's the fastest selling baby snack now in Canada and one of the fastest selling baby snacks in the U.S. It's available in nearly 20,000 stores in the U.S. right now, including Target, Walgreens, Safeway, Food Lion, Whole Foods, Kroger, and many others.
Tell us about the product line, what different types, flavors, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, our best seller is the original flavor. And why do moms love it? Well, a lot of moms really don't know what to feed their baby as a first food. And this is right when the baby's starting to teethe. And baby mums are specifically designed for that. So it's a very, very short and simple ingredients list. It's high-grade Japonica rice, which is like sushi rice, a little bit of sugar that's required to get the meltability of the product, and some salt that's used to leaven the product. And it's that simple. Mm-hmm. And it gives the baby nutrition, no allergens, no wheat, no gluten, no milk, no eggs. Very, very clean for a baby's first food.
Do you have any other products as baby grows older? Are you getting into a different age bracket at some point?
Absolutely. We definitely have a continuation strategy. And once baby starts eating baby mums, at a certain age, they'll grow out of it. And that the baby will tell you because they'll simply lose interest in it. And that's usually between 18 and 24 months, and it's different for every baby. When the baby starts to reject baby mum, we've got a toddler mum, which is for 18 to 24 months onwards. All the same quality and key product attributes as baby mum, but designed for a toddler. More flavors, strawberry, banana, apple, a little bit more crunch. After that, we actually have a mum snacks, which is more for preschool kids, and that was designed specifically for daycares and preschools. So they're peanut-free in addition to being all the major allergen-free as well.
Do you have a lab with hundreds of babies testing your new product line?
That I'm not sure about. But what I do know is that our product, I always call it baby-tested. And we see competitors try to come up with similar products. And I always say that our product is baby-tested. Every year, something like 150 million individual crackers are sold around the world, and so we have the best testing is tested by babies around the world.
What's the sourcing and the manufacturing chain for the product?
We're a Taiwanese company first and foremost, but the bulk of our business is in China. And even though our product is made in China, we are one of the first leaders in the Global Food Safety Initiative back in 2009. And that is the most stringent global platform for food safety in the world. We were one of the first adopters before most North American companies even adopted it. We also control our raw materials very, very closely. And all of that is audited by our QA departments to ensure that the product coming in is top quality. And obviously, the product going out is top quality.
If people wanted to know more about the Baby Mamang products, where would they go? How could they find out?
Absolutely. We have a fantastic website, and it's www.mamums.com. And you'll find everything you need to know about baby mums, toddler mums, and mum snacks, nutritional information, ingredients, information about our company, where you can buy it, flavors. And also, we have a blog on there where we have a certified nutritionist who specializes in baby feeding on our staff, who can provide you with eating tips and lots of information about baby feeding.
Okay, well, Daryl Lim, thank you very much. It's been great speaking with you about Baby Mum.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
We're talking with Brad Ido, and we're talking paper for a change, culinary parchment. Brad, tell us about your company, about your booth here.
Great. Well, our company was founded 6 years ago. We knew that there was a need for the North American consumer to drift away from traditional substrates like foil. We knew that in Europe, culinary papers have been used for centuries, mainly parchment. So we knew we wanted to introduce a healthier way of cooking to North America. And with our paper, it's 100% parchment. It is a eucalyptus base. So all of our papers harvested from an FSC certified forest that has a 4 to 7 year regrow rather than a 25 year regrow cycle. So the benefit of that is the siliconization in our parchment allows for 100% release. So you can omit oils and butters and fats and steam food fish, vegetables in their natural steam for an amazing flavor that most North Americans don't taste without the oils and butters that are added to our diets every day.
Most of our listeners are Asian or Chinese and are familiar with wrapping things.
Yes.
To cook them, indeed. I guess the history of this sort of cooking is thousands,
yes,
tens of thousands of years old.
Yes, in papillote. It is in Asian cultures, it's used bamboo, has been used to steam. In Europe, it's paper, the in papillote, which means to envelop. That's why we launched our actual parchment cooking bags. So instead of having to crimp and fold and do all your corners just right to keep the steam in, our bags are actually already formed into an envelope. So you can just slide your product into it and fold it over, 12 minutes in the oven. But yes, as you said, thousands of years of history in wrapping and steaming that we just haven't really had that renaissance yet in North America. It's happening as the consumer looks for healthier ways of preparing dinner for their family or meals individually. We see the demand for fat-free and oil-free cooking growing.
People can wrap food to prepare it in a variety of things, as you mentioned. You can do corn husks,
yes,
leaves of various,
banana leaves,
or banana leaves and all of that sort of thing. Let's talk about the use of parchment in Asia and China specifically, because we know that bamboo is becoming an issue. Tell us about the acceptance of parchment cooking now in that environment.
Exactly as you just stated, we know that many Asian cultures are running into a shortage of bamboo. Whether it be for chopsticks or the bamboo steaming dishes. So they've actually have discovered parchment in a new way of perforating the parchment to still allow for steaming of fish and rice, traditional items that they would use in bamboo that they may not have access to the quantity of bamboo steaming dishes that they once had. So a lot of our requests for information on parchment are actually coming from Japan and Korea, Taiwan and China, just because they, to some degree, are being forced to step outside of bamboo just because it's not readily available anymore.
And if you get a product like one of yours that comes from the United States, that makes it even more chic.
Correct. It's there's brand appeal. I spent many years with another brand. We know that brand appeal means everything. So we actually have our brand trademarked and in different languages for use around the world.
Is there one kind of parchment that you make, or are there parchments that can add different nuances or textures to the food?
There are different weights of parchment. So parchment just means siliconization. There's a certain percentage of silicone we add to our paper to provide the release. Parchment is, when you look at the history of parchment with the quills and the note-taking as that substrate of paper. But when we introduced it into the culinary sector, we started treating it more modernly so we could get the release of it. But yes, if you want to steam without losing a lot of the moisture, you want a heavier paper. You want to look for a heavier parchment. A thinner parchment is not as impervious to moisture loss as a thicker parchment is.
What's the temperature range that parchments would withstand in the typical oven?
That's a great question. It is. All of our papers are certified to 425 degrees. All paper burns at 426 degrees. So it is oven safe for 425. If you wet our parchment, it does get stronger. So on the top rack of a grill, we've actually steamed corn and artichokes on the grill, on the top rack, not directly over the flame. And if you wet and line, say, a lasagna dish or a casserole dish, safe to 425, but you have very minimal cleanup because the cheese and the sauces aren't sticking to the actual casserole dish.
Advantages over parchment than wax paper for things like cupcakes or,
yes,
or cookie baking?
Yeah, you don't need to spray on parchment. You don't need to spray or butter the lining of a cup, for instance, using parchment that's been treated to release. So paper chefs, baking cups, the crimp cups, and of course the tulip and lotus cups we've launched in the last 2 years are all the same siliconized parchment that all of our products have. So it provides 100% release without having to spray or treat for release.
If people wanted to buy your product, where could they find it? At retail, or what is your web address for people to look over your product line?
We have national relationships with many large retailers throughout the country. We have a list of them on our website. It's www.paperchef.com.
paperchef.com. And I see you've got a big lineup. You got Ralph's, you got Kroger, you got folks all over the country.
Whole Foods, Wegmans, Kroger, absolutely.
So if you can't find you guys, you're not paying attention, right?
Correct. You can't miss us in the bright green box.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brad. It's been great talking to you. We're talking to Leslie Rourke Scott, and we're here at Ubon's, and we're talking Bloody Marys, basically, and spicy stuff to make cocktail drinks with. Tell us a little bit about your company, Leslie.
We started as a barbecue company in 1986. My dad began bottling our family's fifth generation sauce. And from that, we ended up on the barbecue competition circuit and eventually opened a barbecue restaurant. And we're part of a festival here in New York City called the Big Apple Barbecue Block Party, where it's all barbecue from all over the country. And we met our partners at that block party, and once we went into business 3 years ago, we found that there are lots and lots of barbecue sauces out there. What there's not a lot of is really good Bloody Mary mix. And we wanted to create something that was nice and spicy, and also healthy for you. So we've got it. The mix is gluten-free. It's fat-free. It's got no MSG. It's a beautiful product. There is a nod of sweetness to our barbecue heritage, but our Pitmaster's Hot and Spicy is closer to a traditional Bloody Mary, but more of a healthy lifestyle.
How many different barbecue mixes do you make?
We make one barbecue sauce, because that's the sauce that my great-great-great-great-grandmother made. We make two different kinds of Bloody Mary mix. There's the Pitmaster's Hot and Spicy, and then there's also Ubon's Barbecue. And that one's a little sweeter. It leans more toward people who enjoy sweet barbecue. And not everybody likes that. So we had to, you know, open it up some.
How's your manufacturing process? You do it, many people started around the house. Other people started in the garage or in the barn.
We started, my great-great-grandmother started making the sauce in a number 3 wash tub. My grandfather, whose name was Ubon, started making it a couple gallons at a time, and he passed it on to my dad, and my dad went from making it 1 gallon at a time in the kitchen to 100 gallons at a time, and now we work with a co-packer in North Carolina and produce, you know, a couple thousand gallons at a time. So we quickly outgrew what we were able to do in our kitchen, thank goodness.
Where's your headquarters?
We're a Mississippi company. We're out of Yazoo City, Mississippi, but my partners are here in the New York area, so we're New York by way of Mississippi.
Well, you know, you can go to just about any watering hole in New York and find a Bloody Mary. It's always nice to have a good mix to go along with it.
Absolutely. We've gotten to have our mix in. We're in Guy Fieri's restaurant at Times Square. Mm-hmm. We've just gotten picked up by the Bellagio and by the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas, and so we're seeing more movement. And people want something that tastes fresh, and this tastes fresh.
It is called Ubon. That's spelled U-B-O-N-S. They have the barbecue sauces. They also have the Bloody Mary mix. If they want more information about your product, Leslie, where can they go?
They can go to www.ubons.net.
ubons.net. Great. Hey, nice. You got a nice colorful display here, and I just may have to try one of these.
I'd love for you to. We'll sneak and get one now.
And that wraps up another week at the Fancy Food Show at the Javits Center. We'll be back with another chapter of Fancy Food for you next time on Spectrum.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.